no matter your level of success or where you go or what your title is, just like, just always reminding yourself to like stay humble.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
My name is Mickey Reynolds. I'm with a company called General Assembly. I'm the city manager, and I'm based in downtown Los Angeles.
And what does General Assembly mean to you?
General Assembly to me is a community. It's connecting people across all types of different interest areas who are wanting to pursue something kind of a little bit greater than where they are right now. And so whether it's leveling up in their current career field or completely transitioning and putting everything on the line to try something new and taking a risk, it really is just kind of discovering something within yourself and finding a career or passion or a life that you really love.
What does General Assembly, aka GA, do?
GA is a skills-based education company. We provide classes, workshops, events, part-time courses, and full-time courses in business, technology, and design. So we have things like digital marketing, product management, web development, mobile development, all the really cool like startup career type course offerings, allowing people to kind of level up their game if they're looking to, you know, transition into a new career or just even move higher where they are right now.
And when was it founded?
It was founded in 2011, based out of New York City. We're now in 15 different cities around the world. And we came to LA about 3 years ago, and we have three locations here in Southern California, Santa Monica, downtown LA, and now in Orange County in Irvine.
When did you start with GA?
I started about 2.5 years ago. I was brought on board to launch the downtown campus and have been able to do that. And we're actually moving into a brand spanking new campus location at the end of this year.
That's cool. How did you find General Assembly?
So I've heard about GA for a really long time when they were just in New York. And I remember I actually have this as an Evernote to-do item that I made in 2011 when I heard about them. I was like, I want to bring something like GA to LA. I just loved everything that they're about. The brand, the education. I love practical education. I'm not a fan of traditional school that like we went through, which is regurgitating, memorizing, and multiple choice tests. And it really just project-based and critical thinking and kind of working through things really quickly. And had always just been a fan of that. And so how I came to find out about it was just, I think, just through their great branding and marketing. And then they finally came here to LA. And it was super exciting. I think I remember going to a Women in Tech like investor panel that they had maybe about 3 years ago. And I came to kind of connect with GA because about 3 years ago, the company that I was previously at, a software development company, shut down. And I was living in downtown and then now solely in downtown and kind of trying to figure out how do I connect with the tech community in downtown. And it didn't really exist. There wasn't really any sense of that there. It was all in Silicon Beach, all on the West Side. I'm like, I don't really want to go.
And Silicon Beach, for those of you who don't know, well, Silicon Beach means a lot of things to a lot of people. But the vibrancy of the tech scene in Los Angeles is in Santa Monica and by the beach. And there's actually a pretty strong tech scene all around the different LA areas, but because we're so spread out and it's like in traffic, a 2-hour drive anywhere or more, it's really hard for all the different areas to connect with one another.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And this was 3 years ago when WeWork and Cross Campus, two of the largest co-working spaces, were not in downtown.
Nope. And the train in LA hadn't existed yet.
So it's such a completely different environment now. But back then, there were no startups in the sky, like great networking events that happened. There really wasn't much going on down
startups
there.
Startups in the Sky is a downtown LA event series.
And so I actually reached out to GA on Twitter and I asked them if they were thinking about expanding just events or classes anywhere outside of Santa Monica to Hollywood, to downtown. And they responded back and they're like, yeah, what would you like to see? And like, I have some ideas. Can I have some time? Can I share them with you? And it just kind of one thing led to another, and they were actually planning on expanding to downtown LA. And I happened to ask at the very right time, and I was connected with their head of expansion and coffee chats and interviews. And then I was brought on board to essentially launch the downtown campus. Yeah.
So this is like your baby.
Yeah, it is. It's very much like a labor of love and a passion project that I personally had and wanted to see through, but also was validated by, I think, what other people were saying when we started doing activities and events and running classes. People were like, oh my gosh, I love Jay. Thank you so much for having something that's more accessible to me, because I live in Pasadena, or I live in Hollywood, or I live in downtown. And then I don't have to go all the way to Santa Monica to do this. Like, you're making this something that's more accessible to me. And it's also just kind of bringing the community together as well.
Totally. And how did you yourself become interested in tech?
I think I always knew, at least from the first time that I started using AOL at the age of 13, that the online world was something super special. And so going from like the chat rooms and like the age, sex, location questions. And then when I was in college, of like having like high speed internet in your dorm room, and Napster was really big, and getting internships for companies like CD Now, which was now essentially how you buy like music from an Amazon, but doesn't exist anymore. I knew that they wanted to do something in online. I knew that there was something very special about the digital space. And so had just kind of started doing internships and starting that way, but knew that I wanted to do something in that space.
And then how did you become exposed to the tech world?
Ultimately, it was just like hustling and finding ways to get involved in different things. And so whether it was starting out as doing internships, the community aspect of it, I don't think came until later. I've been working in tech probably for about 12 years now. And I spent 6 years at a software development company. And I didn't really feel like I had the street cred at the company that I was at to say that we were really a startup. So I didn't feel like I could go to, you know, social events and networking events and things that were happening in the startup scene to really be like, oh, I work for this company, but we're not really a startup. We're, you know, and so working at GA kind of, it felt a little bit more validating, one, because people know what GA is and what we provide to the community. But I think it's just my dad instilled in me like a love of technology. I'm an Apple diehard fan through and through. I miss Steve Jobs so much. And so I think tech has just always been kind of interwoven in my life, whether it was like physical hardware or like just really cool innovation in software, and just seeing how it's changing our world.
What would you say your calling is?
I love to connect people, and it's something that I just naturally do. And so people, you know, whether they ask me for recommendations of who to talk to about something, because I know I've been that person. If somebody is like, I need a mentor, or I'm trying to figure out how do I do this, it's just, I kind of just stop and like think about how can I help this person. And it's never about like what they can do for me or like that they're going to owe me in the future. It's just, I genuinely want to help people and connect them, whether it's to opportunities, to other people. How can I be beneficial? And like, that's kind of, I feel like, is my purpose in life.
I love it. You are beneficial. You're like constantly beneficial. I love it. How did you know that that was your calling?
I think it took a while for that to resonate with me, that that's something that I really liked and enjoyed doing. It was just something that I did. And I think when I had to start talking about myself, whether it was for job interviews or just in networking type situations, it was, what's the most natural way that I can talk about myself and what I enjoy doing and what I like doing. And so I can't say that I'm like, you know, if I'm looking for a new job, it's like, I'm a project manager, or I'm an operations person, or it's like, I just can tell you what I really enjoy doing. And I always want that to be an aspect of either my professional or personal life.
And how did you go about taking action to develop?
I think for me, it's just constantly always wanting to learn. And I get bored very easily. In previous years as a project manager, if I always felt like we were being held up by something, I wanted to figure out if I could learn how to do it so I could do it faster. And so a lot of times that came to, you know, whether it was learning HTML and CSS to get a newsletter done faster, or figuring out how to like make queries in a database to figure out like what the status of was something. I just have always had a natural curiosity, but it's also a little bit of impatience too. And so I think those two things have lent itself to always wanting to learn things and just constantly always be learning.
And who was your mentor in getting to where you are today?
I think my parents, not so much as professional mentors, always been supportive of my professional career and journey. But I think that just like the principles of just being super hardworking. My parents are divorced, and my mom kind of primarily raised me. Like, I spent weekdays with her and weekends with my dad. But she, you know, she's from Japan. She came here. She kind of just reestablished her own life and just worked so hard to provide me a really great life to get to where I am today. And both of my parents have been 100% supportive of any decisions that I've made. They've never had any expectations of what I need to be or do or be married by a certain age or have kids or any of that. And it's always just like they want me to do what's best for me and for me to be happy. And so I think that type of freedom has allowed me to pursue whatever it is that I desired. And I think that kind of like freedom and flexibility has enabled me to get to where I am today.
Isn't that a little bit unique in the Japanese culture?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think it just in Asian cultures in general, like I know that there's that stereotype of like the tiger mom. And of course, my mom was like the, you know, when I was in high school, she's like, you're going to college. And my dad, who didn't, neither of my parents went to college. My dad went to the Navy and he was like, if you want to go explore the world, like go do that. Like whatever you want to do, like fully support. My mom's like, no, you're going to college. And so there were some, you know, like just parental yeah. expectations of that sort, which I appreciate her for. But yeah, so it's definitely interesting in that sense.
And how do you overcome challenges?
I just feel like you kind of have to tackle things head on. And sometimes it's whether it's you jump right into it or you take a step back and kind of assess the situation and figure out maybe a couple of different solutions for it. I'm definitely a processing type of person. And so whether it's a discussion I'm having or a challenge that I'm being faced with, sometimes I just need some time to like think about it for a bit and like really assess like what the right course of action is.
Totally. Was there ever a point in your career where you were on a track and you're like, whoa, I didn't mean to be going in that direction and you totally shifted paths?
I think the time that I was in between jobs, actually. So when 3 years ago, when my software development company shut down, I found myself unemployed for the first time in my life. Like I had always.
And it was your software. Were the founder?
I was not. Okay. It was somebody else's company. But I, from the time that I came on board, I was the first person that was hired. We transitioned it from a previous life form. Right. So we took it from a desktop software company to a online-based software company. And during that transition, there was a lot of transition in like staff and stuff. So at the time that the company folded, I was like the number one person there that was like had senior tenure, had been there the longest. And I was ultimately the last person that was on payroll for that company. I was the vice president of operations and I was like kind of the right hand to the CEO. So for 6 years, I put a lot of time and effort into that company. I was very much a workaholic and I had no social life. And I gave it everything that I had in like building that team and the company and the product. And so when it actually shut down, it was hard. And I felt a lot of guilt for, you know, one, having to let people go, but feeling like a failure.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out like, what am I going to do next? And I had no idea. And I think that's where GA, just as a resource, I was just like, maybe I'll just start taking some classes and going to some events and things like that. And then I just took it a step further and I was like, I feel like this is needed by more people here too. Selfishly, how can I make this easier for myself right. and like have it closer to me? But two, I would love to, you know, I'm very much a builder at heart. I love to build things. And so whether it was like, you know, my experience building software applications, not me personally, but involved in that process, or building things like Grid 110, a nonprofit that yeah. I'm involved in downtown LA. I love to be able to kind of like conceptualize, iterate, build something, and then kind of see it just grow from there.
What's Grid 110 do?
So Grid 110 is a community and economic development organization. We're a nonprofit that's in partnership with Mayor Garcetti's office. And we're kind
of... The mayor of Los Angeles.
The mayor of Los Angeles, the best mayor in the world. And we look to kind of activate and accelerate the startup ecosystem in downtown LA. So I met up with people. Our board of directors and founding team is about 7 people that were all invested in and looking to see downtown LA do really awesome things in the startup community. And so our first initiative has been an accelerator, actually. It's an accelerator for the past 2 cycles has focused around fashion tech companies. We're in the middle of our second cycle right now, and we have an awesome cohort of companies that are fashion tech who are invested in building their companies in downtown LA, and are just really great to work with.
That's awesome. And what from the experiences you had in life paths and exploration, how did those life moments contribute to your success today?
I think everything happens for a reason. And I think that the challenges that we're faced, the successes that we have, they all kind of like interweave into getting us to wherever we stand right now. And so I think that everything's character building for me, and I always take everything as a lesson, and I'm very appreciative of the sense of failure because I know that it's going to happen at some point, and it's only a natural part of the process, but it's like what you do from there and how you pick yourself up and move forward that really is a character-defining moment.
100%. What is that saying, like, you're not defined, like you're defined by how you get up, not by...
Yeah.
What's that saying?
I don't know, but I can see where you're going with that. And yeah. I totally believe that, because I really think that it's like you can just sit there and wallow and talk about how you're a failure and how much you failed and just, you know, be depressed and sad. Or yeah, you can do something about
it's
it.
It's not how many times you fall. It's how many times you stand back yeah. up. It's not how many times you fall. It's how many times you stand back up. Yeah, I keep standing back up every hour of every day.
Which is funny. So that actually, that reminds me of, I think one of the things that ties you and I together, I don't know if you remember this, that we're kind of involved in an organization called Stoked.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I don't remember. Steve is awesome. Stoked Mentoring.
Yes.
So Stoked Mentoring essentially utilized action sports to aid the youth and bring them a sense of community, education, empowerment to have a better life of themselves so they could grow up into being successful adults.
Yeah. So
did I describe it okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's changed over the years. I was a mentor for 4 years and now they're in 3 different locations and doing like amazing things. But yeah, so it's like that concept of, I remember, so we, when I was doing it, it was kind of a one-to-one mentoring pairing relationship. I had a girl that I was paired with. She was 15 when we started and now she's almost graduating college. But we were together for 4 years and we did snowboarding, skateboarding, and surfing. And at the start of the program, I knew how to do one of those. I knew how to snowboard a little bit. Didn't know how to surf, didn't know how to skateboard. And you go through these activity days with the kids who are also learning. So you're both learning at the same time. And it's that really that concept of like, you're going to fall. Like, it's not a matter of if, it's when you're going to fall.
Totally.
But it's getting back up and doing it again and again. So what you just said, like, totally reminded me of that.
No, 100%. I'm glad we brought up Stoke. Stoke was a huge part of my life. Yeah. Steve's a good guy.
He's amazing.
The founder of Stoke.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about like mentoring and mentors, like, I definitely think of him as one.
He like sacrifices his life and his like breathing space just to benefit the youth through actions. It's wild.
He's great.
Great guy. I know he's not a woman.
He empowers
many women. Whatever. Steve is totally worth being talked about. And we'll include Stoked in the show notes. And I'm not sure what they have going on these days and how they're set up. But if they do have a mentoring program, you could definitely mentor an amazing guy or girl and be a part of their lives like Mickey was.
Yeah.
So you still keep in touch with your mentee?
I do, yeah.
And so, like, how have you seen have you seen your mentee evolve?
Oh, so wow. So I remember when we first, her name is Karen. When we first met, she was like 15 years old. She had just finished her freshman year of high school.
And now she's in college.
Yeah, she's now in college. I think she's very close to graduating. She was very shy. And she admittedly had, you know, kind of low self-esteem. And just was looking for like a bigger life than her own. Like she lived in like just outside of downtown. So like East LA-ish, had never been to the beach, had never seen the snow. And so I got to experience those things with her. And it was just like this look of wonderment and amazement of when you see somebody, see snow in real life, like falling snow for the first time, it's like, you're looking at it through their eyes. And it's like, it's such a magical feeling for them. And just to know that she could experience those types of things, but also know that there's such a bigger world out there for her and that she should want more for herself. And I think that this program enabled her to want more for herself. And so it's been great to see that, you know, she's putting herself through college. She has a couple of younger nieces and nephews that she helps take care of. And she's really just kind of propelling herself forward in life.
I love it. What's the best lesson you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dreams?
That's a good question.
Thanks. I wrote it myself. I did not plagiarize it.
I feel like I have these quotes like written down somewhere or other. I might need to take a minute to like draw that from
totally.
My memory.
Like the best lesson that I've learned about pursuing my dreams are two things. And it's like what I share in every single one of my talks. But I just think, I mean, maybe three. I'm going to give one that my mom taught me too.
Yeah.
The first two are your intuition is your oracle.
Mm-hmm.
because I didn't believe in myself enough to trust myself. And I would just like listen to what everybody else was telling me to do because I was like, oh, they're older and they're smarter or whatever. Never believing in just my own gut. So even like this podcast, like by the time I got to the point of creating this podcast, I just went with what my gut thought. I was like, I'm not going to subscribe to some like how to do a podcast thing. I just want to go with my gut, like watch YouTube videos and figure it out. But like when I was building my sports company, I was like, what if I do it wrong?
Yeah.
If I just do it how they tell me to do it. So, and it's just such a shame that I didn't believe in myself more. So your intuition is your oracle. Yeah. And then the second one is we create our own story, our own journey. Because I at least put so much emphasis on trying to be everybody else, whether it be Richard Branson or Tim Ferriss or whoever, Sophia Amoroso with Nasty Gal, you know, like whoever I thought was like just had it on lock. I wanted to do like everything exactly with their treasure map is how I viewed it. And then my life would be perfect. But no, I actually totally lost my sports company. You know, like I did everything, quote unquote, perfect. And it did not work out for me. So it just taught me this valuable lesson that we create our own story, our own journey. And the last one, which I think is a great lesson in endurance. My mom always says every no leads to a yes. And so like, or every no is one step closer to a yes, which is great because you get no's about 1 million times a day as an entrepreneur. So like just to know like, good, I got that one out of the way. Let me move on to the next. It's like, of course, it's heartbreaking whenever those moments come. I had a moment today that I'm worried I'm going to get a no, you know, but I'm like, you know what, Esprit, that was your no. And now move on to the next, and maybe that one will be the yes.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, so I thought of it.
Okay, cool.
So I have this print, actually, that's hanging in my house, and it's by this really cool artist. She now works at Nike. I actually had her on for a talk at GA about, she does a lot of hand lettering and illustration. Her name's Jeanette Liao, and she has this print that has been stolen and reproduced by a bunch of different people many times, but the saying is stay humble, hustle hard. And that to me just kind of resonates really well. I feel like I carry myself with a lot of humility. I'm somebody who is very much always behind the scenes. I don't like tend to take a lot of credit for anything, and I don't need to be out there. Again, like I like to play that supporting role in how can I help you. And I think it's just a constant reminder of like, no matter your level of success or where you go or what your title is, just like just always reminding yourself to like stay humble, but always be like hustling. And I think that the word hustle can tend to be overused by some people.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's like one of those like, you know, drink if you hear the word, like somebody talking about how hard they're hustling. But as a mindset, I think you always have to be hustling. And just like you were saying, it's like if you want something, like go after it. It's not going to be given to you. If you get a no, you're going to get a yes at some point. And just to keep at it and like have that persistence of if you want something, you can make it happen. And you just have to find the way to get there.
After experiencing so many painful moments as a founder, I'd say that the most important thing that I've learned about success. I mean, how many companies, huge companies, Blockbuster, Kodak, huge companies, right? You'd be, oh yeah, they're successful. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're gone, right? Yeah. So the definition of success to me no longer means how big your company was. The definition of success, because that can change all the time. The definition of success is, did I take steps forward today?
Mm-hmm.
Success, I feel, is execution. Success is action. That's it. That's all you can ask. You're not psychic. You can't have control over anything else. What woman in tech really inspires you?
I am super impressed with Meredith Perry at UBeam. She has a phenomenal engineering background, and she's basically developing this technology of wireless charging for phones and devices and things like that. And I think she's faced a lot of criticism for people that think that it can't be done. But I think for somebody, one of her age, she's like 26 or 27 years old, but she's got this credible background. She's assembling this amazing team of brilliant people. And just for her to have the vision of being able to conceive something like this as possible and then being able to move forward with it and just getting the validation of investors and team members and you know, charging forward in that, I think that's just tremendous. In quality and ability and as a leader.
Where is UBeam based?
They're here in Los Angeles.
Oh, cool. And what is the domain?
I believe it is UBeam.com. UBEAM.com.
Sweet. Mickey, what's next for you?
Oh, good question. Well, I mean, right now we're probably going to go to a Halloween yappy hour with Dog Vacay and see some pups in Halloween costumes. I think moving forward, we're moving into a brand new campus in downtown LA for General Assembly. It's going to be twice the size of what we have right now in Little Tokyo. So super excited about that.
Oh my God, the food.
Yeah, that's what we're most excited about. So many food options. We are growing out our Orange County expansion as well. And so I think just really seeing where we can take that, seeing how we can grow Grid 110 and the things that are there, and kind of just figuring out some personal passion projects and in the spare time that I do have, and just really kind of trying to help the LA startup community get to where it can go.
I love it. What's your favorite podcast or video series?
It's got to be one of your podcasts. So probably the We Are LA Tech podcast and or the Women in Tech podcast.
Thanks.
I just started listening to, it's the Gimlet Media Startup Podcast.
Yes. Best ever. Yeah. Listen to it.
Yeah, that's great. And just cool to hear kind of like the behind the scenes of like what it takes to do what you're doing right now and building a podcast empire. In small doses, I can take Tim Ferriss. I was actually just listening to a podcast that he did. He produced or put online yesterday with I never get his full name right, but it's DHH, and it's the guy that's like behind
Ruby
with
Base
on Rails.
Camp.
Yeah, Basecamp. Yeah. So the podcast is 3 hours. I can have an attention span for like maybe half an hour, maybe an hour. But just like he gets great people on his show, so.
Awesome. Awesome. No, definitely. And Gimlet Media, my perception of Gimlet Media, it's a podcast network, as Mickey said, but I feel like they're the Netflix. I feel like they're the HBO of podcasts. Like every single podcast that they produce is super high quality and incredible storytelling. And I'm a really, really a big fan of multiple of their shows, and especially of their show Startup. And on my We Are LA Tech podcast, I'm blessed enough that Alex Bloomberg actually introduces the We Are LA Tech podcast. So it's
exciting.
And Alex Bloomberg is the co-founder of Gimlet Media and the original host, and still hosts a lot of the episodes of the Startup podcast. What resource do you recommend for someone who wants to get into the tech world?
Oh, so many. I mean, I'll just unbiasedly tout General Assembly. And coming to any event that we host or are in partnership with is a great kind of connection point, whether you're wanting to learn about design or coding or digital marketing or PR in the tech space. I think that there are a lot of great opportunities just to connect with people in general at our campus. Online, I think We Are LA Tech is amazing. Just both from an event calendar resource, the startup features that you guys do, and the private chat that you have on Slack is like unparalleled in terms of community. And it's just a great resource for connecting with awesome people.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Like when people bring up We Are LA Tech on the show, I swear I'm never seeking like to tote my own stuff. And it's like, I work so hard that it means so much to me that it's creating a lot of value for a lot of people.
I mean, it's why we're here today. So
it's cool. I am so excited about this show, the Women in Tech show, and about We Are LA Tech and the podcast coming out daily. Like, I'm so excited to expose the world to like this many incredible people. Like, to unite the LA tech community via just like a show, and then like to expose people to the outstanding positive women in tech just via, it's just like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like a superpower. How can people stay in touch with you?
I am at Mixter, MIKSTER, on literally all of the social media things, Instagram, Twitter. On Snapchat, I am Mickey Reynolds, but unless you really know me, you're probably not going to get to follow me. But yeah, at Mixter.
Cool. Thank you so much for being on the Women in Tech show and sharing your story. This is amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Yay.
It was a pleasure.
It was awesome. That was fun, right?
Yeah, it was totally fun.
Yay. Awesome. Ooh. We did it.
This episode of the Women in Tech show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.